Let us pray. God of small beginnings and wondrous creations, grant us this day the eyes to see your miracles and the ears to hear your word, the minds to accept those times when we can't explain what we see or understand right away what we hear. Send your Holy Spirit in this place, O God, that we might truly hear your call for us. Amen. Small beginnings, rooting for the underdog, an unlikely hero saving the day. These are the kinds of stories that we love to hear. Like Cinderella, where a woman goes from cleaning girl to princess. Or almost any sports movie where the team that nobody believes in finds some inner strength and takes that big championship. And we love those stories where the main character overcomes that one thing holding them back, turning their weakness into strength to become the hero they never thought they could be, that no one thought they could be. Aren't these stories great? They make for great TV, they make for great movies, and they make for better books. What we're saying here is that these stories that go from nothing to something, from small beginnings to big endings, these are wonderful works of fiction. Yeah, we look at these stories and we enjoy them because they get us thinking about a world totally unlike our own. A world where a single person can make a huge difference. A world where, yes, even we can make a difference. Because it's so miraculous. Because it's so impossible. It could never really happen in the real world. The good guy doesn't always win. And we're still waiting for the hero to save the world. But knowing this, knowing that the underdogs only win sometimes, that Cinderellas rarely go from cleaning brush to crown, why do we beat ourselves over the head with these fictitious, impossible worlds? Maybe deep down, there's a voice telling us to try in spite of the odds, to help even when there is no hope. Maybe small as we are, something inside us knows that we have the power to change the world. Maybe that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe it's not. Maybe it's just a result of what you had for supper last night. But if you are a person who loves stories about small and unlikely beginnings, our readings for today give two of them. One about a king and the other about a kingdom. In the second reading from the first book of Samuel, we see that once again, Samuel is on the hunt for a king. If you know the story at all, you know that the people of Israel wanted a king. And so they chose one for themselves. They chose a man named Saul. They chose Saul in spite of everything that God had suggested, despite all the warnings. They chose Saul, and they chose their wants and their desires over God's guidance. But if we know anything about God, we know that God's forgiving, so God doesn't hold a grudge, even when people turn away. In today's reading, God is preparing a compromise. People want a king, God will give them a king. But it's going to be one of God's choosing. And so Samuel is sent out with a horn of oil to go and find God's chosen. But Samuel wasn't setting out for some great city full of rich people, nor was he sent to find an army with a great soldier that might be a great leader of people. No, Samuel was sent to a small village comprised mostly of farmers and sheepherders. Does anybody remember the name of that fateful city? Bethlehem, a city bound for greatness. And he went there to see a man named Jesse, because it was among Jesse's sons that God had chosen the future king for Israel. And now comes the parts of the story that we really enjoy, where the hero is revealed, where we learn of their beginnings. What made them leaders? What made them a king? At a special sacrifice, Samuel got all of Jesse's sons to pass before him. And what sons they were. Some were tall, some were muscular, some were handsome, and some were charming. All these would have been great-looking kings. But for some reason, God gave no sign for any of these seven sons. All who definitely looked the part of a king. But God reminded Samuel that while Samuel looks at what is on the outside, God is looking for something on the inside. And none of these had what it would take to be king. But like I said, this little town of Bethlehem was filled with sheep herders. So somebody had to tend to the flock while everybody else was out at a party. Of course, Jesse saw with the same eyes that Samuel did, and he left the runt of his litter with the job of shepherd. But God did say that one of the sons of Jesse would be the next king, so Samuel sent for him. And the moment that he laid eyes on that last son of Jesse, David, God told him to anoint him, for he would be king. This dirty, ruddy shepherd would be king. What a Cinderella story, right? David, a lowly shepherd, becomes the next king. And we're going to hear in the coming king about what a great king and sometimes what not a great king he was. Why him? What about him made him so worthy? What did God see inside that made him better than his brothers for the job? Well, for one, he was a shepherd. Even when major things were going on in the town, his concern was for the sheep of his father's flock. But what makes a shepherd so special? We might think that a general would make a strong leader, or that some great advisor would make a wise leader. But in the days of the Hebrew people, a shepherd was considered to be the greatest model for a leader. A general might fight for power, and an advisor might fight for wealth. But in all things, a shepherd fights for her flock. God wanted someone who would care for the people of Israel as though they were sheep, not because they were weak, but because they were precious. And so David was chosen as king. If that isn't an underdog story, I don't know what is. Now that's the end of the king's story, but we still have a story about the kingdom. The one we hear from Christ while he's teaching his disciples what the kingdom of God is like. He can't tell them flat out what the kingdom of God is because no words can explain. But he can tell them what it's like. And he does so using many parables, many that we know quite well. Today, as you heard, we talked about the parable of the mustard seed, the smallest of the seeds which grows into the greatest of bushes. It offers shade to those struck by heat and support for birds to nest in. It's a short story, but it carries with it all those elements that we look for in a small beginning story. But even though we spend a good deal of this story rooting for the mustard seed, it's not really about the seed, is it? Like I said before, this is a story of what the kingdom of God is like. So how is a mustard seed like the kingdom of God? You see, a mustard seed isn't that great shrub yet. But within that seed, within all seeds, is the idea of something greater. Within the mustard seed is the idea of a great shrub. Within the seed of an apple is the idea of an apple tree. It reminds me of one of my favorite hymns. We sang it a few weeks ago at our hymn sing. In the bulb, there is the flower. In the seed, a mustard shrub. The kingdom of God is similar. It doesn't exist yet because it's an idea that lives within us. A place where all are sheltered, supported, protected. But like the mustard seed, the idea must be nurtured and allowed to grow within us, and yes, within our communities, faith and otherwise. And in the cold and snow of winter, a winter within our lives where there is hate and war and oppression, there is a kingdom that waits to be. All this unrevealed until its season, something only God can see. There it is again. There is something special within David, within the mustard seed, within all of us. This whole world that we can't see. But God knows it's there, just waiting to burst forth. So maybe that feeling we get deep down isn't gas from last night's supper. Maybe it's God reminding us that there is more to this world that we can see, that indeed there may even be something about us, a strength that we don't even know about yet. And like the small mustard seed, which makes a huge difference to the birds and all it protects, and like small David, makes a huge difference because of his courage and his faith, we too, small as we are, can make a big difference in this world. Every time you help your neighbor, you make the world a little bit more like the kingdom of God. Every time you give to the Mission and Service Fund to put an end to hunger and fear, it makes this world a little bit more like the kingdom of God. Every handshake in friendship, every cup of coffee shared over hardship, every time you smile at a stranger makes this world a little bit more like the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God won't come if we as a people are just sitting here twiddling our thumbs. As co-creators of this world, it's our responsibility to make ready this world for the kingdom. So it might sound like hard work, but that's because it is. All underdog stories are hard work. And it might even sound impossible, but this world is a Cinderella story waiting to happen. We're the underdogs heading for the championship. And we are those heroes called to live out the good that lives within us. It's too much work. It's going to take a miracle. Because it's impossible. But remember, just because miracles are impossible doesn't mean they don't happen all the time. So as we prepare to go forth from this worship into service, let us live lives like David, caring for the flock of God, and let us nurture the seed of hope for the kingdom that lives within us. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our shepherd and our hope. Amen. And now, our next hymn of praise is found in More Voices.